Are you a mom who struggles to understand your son and respond in ways that will encourage him toward godly manhood? Does the idea of raising boys in the current cultural climate make you cringe? Well, then we're so glad you're joining us for today's episode. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Another great way to support our ministry is by helping us get the word out about our show. You can do that by leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen to our podcast. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission, to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper, like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that, and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger. Well, hey there, Ginger. I'm really excited for today's topic because it's one that's extremely important, and I can't think of anyone better to talk about it than today's guest, who happens to have raised five boys of her own. I'm just picturing the smells during the teenage years. But not that all boys are smelly, but I mean, that's just, I don't know. I think that's pretty common knowledge. Yep. But she was actually our first guest on the podcast way back in episode 39. And Ginger, I know she's a good friend of yours. So how about you introduce her to our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Dorinda Wilson is one of my favorite people in the whole world. And I could just go on and on about the many ways I've been blessed tremendously by her friendship. But I'm eager to pass the mic to her as quickly as possible because I know how much wisdom and encouragement she's going to bring to our listeners today. So I'm just going to give a very brief introduction so that we can get right to it. Dorinda Wilson has been married to her husband, Daryl, for 34 years. They have 8 kids, 10 grandkids, and have been homeschooling for 30 years. That makes her sound very old, but she's really not.
She's really not.
Dorinda is a trusted voice and resource at homeschool conventions and on the Dorinda Wilson podcast. She has published 4 books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, The 4-Hour School Day, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, which is a 31-day devotional, and her most recent book, Raising Boys to Men, which is what we're going to talk about today. Dorinda, it is so great to have you back with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's so much fun to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, Dorinda, boys are quite often misunderstood and even misdiagnosed when they are simply doing what their creator wired them to do. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think they're misunderstood and misdiagnosed often because there's a huge focus on more the way girls learn, the way we live in a feminist society. So we've got this culture and even the church who sort of has shed a negative light on boys and their boyhood. And you know, I talk about this in the book. You know, people say boys will be boys, and they've used that sometimes as an excuse for poor behavior, and that's not at all what I'm driving at here. But there are some things that boys just do by nature that are actually really good things, and they just need to be directed. And unfortunately, the school system is a terrible place for boys. I'm sorry. I don't even know why that hasn't changed over the years, but I think that I think maybe there's some teachers out there who are wanting to, you know, make some changes that way and make adjustments, but it's very difficult to have boys sitting for so long, especially in the early years. They have so much energy, and God has put that in them. They are fearfully and wonderfully made to be active, busy, competitive, and physical. And a lot of times those things are frowned upon in our culture. And so often there's this suggestion that we should just try to dial them back, just constantly put a lid on them all the time instead of taking that energy and that aggressiveness and putting it to good use. So I would say that one of the reasons that they're often misunderstood and misdiagnosed is that they're almost expected to act like girls. And I think this is so important to recognize as moms how differently our sons are wired than we are. We see it in our husbands as well. But I remember when our youngest son was in the hospital for the first 2 months of his life. He had open heart surgery and was there for, like I said, for 2 months. And this nurse, she was in training, and I had kind of gotten to know her a little bit. And she had said how her son, who was about, I want to say maybe six, he was really struggling in the classroom. And I leaned over and I said, I know exactly why. And she looked at me like I had some big secret to tell her that she just didn't know about. And I said, it's because he knows he was made to be outside digging in the dirt and playing with bugs. And, you know, it's just such a natural thing for them to do. And often we put them in scenarios that aren't conducive to that. And then we wonder why they struggle. And again, it's not because we're not going to train them to eventually be able to handle those situations where they have to sit still for a certain length of time, but we can do that gradually and over time and also give them the opportunity to run off that energy like they so desperately need to do.
Yeah, that's good, Dorinda. You know, as moms of boys, I think we can struggle to understand some of the ways that they might think and act, because we all know that God created male and female very differently. And some of those differences can actually potentially hinder us from responding to our boys in ways that will encourage them to be who God has created them to be.
Right.
So, Dorinda, what are some things that moms should expect from boys?
Well, I think it's to be expected that we're going to be grossed out by them. They're going to do things that we think are just disgusting. Part of that is they love to push the parameters, either for themselves or sometimes for us, just because they know it'll gross us out and they think that's hilarious. They also do it because they're more impulsive a lot of times. And so they won't even think through whether or not something is a good idea. And obviously, eventually we need to teach them to process that. But initially, it's going to happen, you know. We eventually are going to teach them to learn to read the room and the time and the place to do these things, and we have to decide that, you know, as parents, where those boundaries are. And as far as boundaries go, we can expect them to push the boundaries. I think it's important for them to have a time and a place that they can roughhouse. We want to keep the boundaries secure, though, but also be ready for reasonable, respectful compromises. I think that's important because we don't always fully understand them as moms, we kind of have to get to know them. So asking questions and maybe if they're coming back to us with something, some sort of compromise, try to make that compromise if we can. But I think expect to laugh a lot because they love to be goofy. And one thing I learned is just to be goofy with them. And they love that. They love to feel like you value that laughter with them and just being present with them, and you love their goofiness. They think it's hysterical. My boys to this day just make me laugh all the time. You can expect to go to the emergency room. You know, boys need to do dangerous things. And sometimes I like to say that one of our biggest jobs as moms of boys is just to keep them alive. That doesn't mean we have to keep them, we have to helicopter over them. We need to let them do dangerous things. And sometimes that may end up requiring a trip to the emergency room. And then lots of physical activity. This is a feature. It is not a bug. It is a feature. And I think that's something we really have to get planted in our minds. So when we go places, we understand they're probably going to want to run. And again, we can teach them not to run or to run at the right time in the right place and all that, but to expect them to be physical, expect them to want to be independent. They need time with their dads. They need time with other boys to do boy things. You can expect them to not like showers. That's another.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Sometimes that changes, like when they get to be around 15 and all of a sudden they start noticing that there's girls and girls don't like stink. So all of a sudden that can start to change it and go the other direction where they want to take a shower every day. But for a long time, it seems as though they don't really care how they smell, you know, all of that. I just remember going into our oldest son's bedroom, and I gave up trying to get him to keep it the way I wanted, and I just basically would walk in and say, please take everything out of here that smells or that can rot. That's all I ask.
The bare minimum.
Exactly. Also, expect them to develop more slowly than girls their age, and that's, again, it's not a problem. They will catch up eventually, but I think comparing them to girls at certain points is not wise. Also expect them to lose a chunk of their brains as they approach puberty. And this is the way I explained it to our boys. Look, your body is working hard to grow from a boy to a man. And so there's going to be I call them brain farts, you know, where they just, the thing that they did consistently for years until they turned 12 or 13, and now all of a sudden they can't seem to remember to do the job. We still hold them accountable. We still require them to take responsibility, but we also let them own this part of the journey with their dignity intact. I think that's really important. We can easily start to make fun of them, tease them, mock them because they're different than us or they're having those struggles. And it can be hilarious. So don't lose your sense of humor and don't let them lose their sense of humor either. We can laugh together about these things, but also we can be respectful of the fact that it isn't an easy transition from boyhood to manhood.
Oh, I love what you just said about allowing them to maintain their dignity during that, because it is easy to poke fun, especially at teenage boys and just... because they're comical and they seem to lose their wits for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. But that is just so wise, Dorinda. Thank you for that. Mm. In your book, Raising Boys to Men, you dedicate a large portion of one chapter to work ethic. And I find that really interesting. Why did you do that?
Well, one of the things that we learned over the years, my husband and I both love to work hard. We're very productive. It's part of the family culture we came from. We're wired that way. So we didn't actually set out to, you know, telling ourselves we need to instill a strong work ethic in these kids. But what we noticed was that, you know, by nature, kids don't want to do stuff. So we had to really make that part of our daily life, was just work is part of our daily life. And also to remember that our kids can have all kinds of skills and abilities and giftings, but if they have no work ethic, those skills and abilities are not going to serve them nearly as well. One thing we've noticed as our kids have become adults, that even when in their teen years, as they became such good workers, they had opportunities to make money and to work for people and to do things that they wouldn't have otherwise had they not had a strong work ethic that was being built in them. And, you know, our kids, even to this day, talk a lot about how that's one of the greatest gifts we gave them, was a strong work ethic. It has served them so well over the years. And, you know, work ethic teaches our kids so much. It teaches them perseverance. It teaches them resilience. It brings out heart issues along the way that need to be dealt with. One of the best ways that we've instilled a work ethic in our kids are through daily chores, and that consistency, that having to do that thing, those things every single day and do them well, that brings a lot of character issues out that need to be dealt with. And we want that. But it also, again, teaches them perseverance and resilience. It gives our boys something to conquer. And this is something I repeatedly talk about in the book, is their need to build, to protect, to provide, to lead, and to conquer. And that's something that, chores can do for them. Building a strong work ethic in them can do for them. It builds their confidence. It builds their skill sets. Again, opens them up for opportunities and prepares them for life. And so I just think that you just can't lose building a strong work ethic into your kids. And specifically today, we're talking about boys. It's a lot of work. They don't necessarily like it or enjoy it. But what I've noticed is over time, they really began to appreciate that feeling of a job well done. Like that was enough of a reward for them that they didn't need to have any other reward. And to this day, they're all very hard workers and they love their work and they find enjoyment in it. And, you know, the Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes. You know, King Solomon, he talked about how he basically spared himself no luxury. He gave himself everything, looking for wisdom and asking God for wisdom. And his conclusion was that the best thing in life would be to enjoy your food and your drink and to enjoy your work. And that was his conclusion. And so, and we can't do any of that without God. So it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to teach our kids that work is from the Lord. It is a gift to us. God gave it to Adam and Eve. He gave them that mandate in the garden before the fall. So that means that work was something God had for us before the fall. It wasn't a result of the fall. Now it's much harder now to accomplish that work, but it's still a good thing in God's sight. And we are stewards of what God has given us. So when we're cleaning our house, taking care of our cars and our yard, we're telling the Lord in essence, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for giving us what you've given us. And we want to steward those things well. So that's why I have such an emphasis on work ethic.
Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com.
That is so good. And not to mention the fact that when we teach our boys how to do chores and have a good work ethic by helping around the house, that's also going to make their wives very happy once they get married.
Exactly.
She's going to love that.
Exactly.
Like the best mother-in-law in the world.
Yes. My mother-in-law always said, I am not just raising sons, I'm raising husbands. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that so much because I've benefited from that over the last almost 35 years with my husband.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So also in your book, Dorinda, I was looking through it the other day, and you share an acronym that makes it easier for moms to remember what boys need. Mm-hmm. So I would love for you to share that acronym and what it stands for, because I just loved that in your book.
Yes, and it's an acronym that every boy mom can remember. It's B-U-R-P, burp.
Oh, wow.
So B is boundaries, and I expound on why it's important for boys to have boundaries and how to set them. U is for use few words. This is something that I learned along the way, painfully, that my boys really needed me to use as few words as possible, or I actually lost respect in their eyes. You know, and as a writer and a mom who loves to talk and loves words, that was a huge order to fill. But I knew that I needed to do it because my boys were just, they were shriveling under all my words. And it was messing up our relationship. So I had to learn to use words to communicate what it is that I wanted to say in 15 seconds or less. And it was a discipline for me, but it was definitely worth it. And I definitely got good results from it.
Yeah. So, and you know, one thing, let me pause right there, because I remember in your book, you told a story about how frustrated you were because your boys were frustrated with you and you couldn't figure out what was going on. And so you and Daryl went out on a date night and you were venting all of these things to Daryl. And Daryl said, I believe you guys were done eating. You were in the car. And he said, do you really want me to tell you what the problem is?
Right.
And you were like,
that's a loaded question.
I'm ready. But you were ready. You were so frustrated. You were ready to hear it. Mm. And I loved Daryl's counsel. It was something along the lines of, you talk too much.
Yep.
You use too many words with the boys and it frustrates them. So I love that you listened to that counsel from your husband, who is a man and who understands what it's like to be a boy. And so I loved how you went to your husband and asked him what he thought about what is the problem here with the boys? Why are they frustrated with me? Why am I frustrated with him? And then you heeded that counsel of your husband.
Yes.
I love that.
And it was great because the rest of that story, so hilarious. I went home and I told the boys about, you know, kind of from start to finish, the conversation that I had with my husband, you know, briefly, just basically said, I know.
I was going to say, was it 15 seconds or
less? It was not 15 seconds or less, but it was briefer than the actual experience. So I said, basically, this is what your dad told me. And they all looked at me like with wide eyes and said, yes, Mom, we would rather experience physical pain than listen to you talk. And they were not being disrespectful. They were just being honest. And that's another thing I love about boys is if they feel safe to do so, they will be honest with you. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, Ginger, you mentioned talking to our husbands. This is something I go back to over and over again throughout the book because it is so important. Number one, that we're on the same page as our husbands when it comes to raising our kids, but especially, you know, we're talking about boys today. But it's also important because of what you said. Our husbands know how they think. They understand their language. And so sometimes my husband came up with some pretty interesting consequences that I would not have come up with. Or if I would have, I would have said, that's a bad idea. But I was usually out of ideas by then. And so we would just go with his idea and it worked. And so really leaning into your husband for wisdom when it comes to your boys is really a wise thing to do.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So I got you totally off track.
So we got
the middle of your acronym. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So we've done boundaries. Boundaries, use few words, and then R is respect and responsibility, and I expound on both of those in the book. And then the last one is prayer, because of course we can do all the things, but it's a spiritual battle. And you know, I think that's really what a lot of moms are experiencing, especially in our culture, is this battle of raising our boys to be men in the midst of a culture and even a church that's very feminized and a school system that's feminized. And so we have to. We have to combat that, and we have to be the ones to push back for the sake of our boys, because what we want at the end of the day is to raise these young boys and young men to men of God who love him, who are committed to his ways, and who are going to basically be incredibly effective for the kingdom if we raise them well.
Well, what would you say are the biggest challenges for moms of boys besides talking less? Because I think that was
my biggest
challenge.
Yeah. You know, I think respecting the God-given nature of boys, I think being a student of your boys and then also kind of educating yourself either through your husband or through like a book like mine, some tools that can help you better understand them. I actually have a short reading list at the back of my new book of suggested reading that I think would be super helpful in understanding boys better. So respecting their God-given nature and then directing their energy in productive directions. I heard a wise mom once say that her biggest job with her boys is to employ and exhaust.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought that was absolutely brilliant. It's an easy thing to remember. Yes. It's absolutely true. We just have to redirect. That energy is so good and so wonderful, but give them a mission. They need a mission. And so having them help, giving them chores, and also obviously – probably doesn't need to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway. Lots of kudos. Like, look how strong you are. I can't believe that you lifted all of those grocery bags for me and I didn't have to carry anything. Thank you. Thank you for opening the door for me. I feel very loved and very special. You know, just things like that, that just encourage that wonderful desire they have to provide and protect. They even want to provide for and protect us as their moms. And it's just such a sweet thing. But sometimes in their attempt to do that, it's like way off in left field. And you're like, I don't even know what this is. But if you understand that that's their nature, okay, are they trying to build? Are they trying to protect or provide or lead or conquer somehow in this scenario? If you can get a better understanding of that, it helps so much. And then the other thing is just not to parent emotionally. You know, our emotions are a wonderful thing as women, as moms. We nurture well with those. and they can be a great warning light, but they make a terrible GPS. So boys do some crazy, unexpected things that are going to embarrass us. And so our job is to respond, not react. And so hit the pause button, take a breath, think things through from the boy's perspective and try to understand what it is that they were doing and even have a conversation with them like, you know, you did this thing and I'm trying to understand why. And a lot of times they will be able to explain it to you. And I think so just getting that, gaining that understanding of them and then respecting those differences, I think is one of the key things that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Dorinda, I know you homeschooled all of your sons mm-hmm. from kindergarten to graduation.
Yes.
So you've had lots of experience in teaching boys from an educational standpoint. In what ways would you say that their education looked different from your daughter's?
Well, I would say that I think I mentioned this earlier that boys tend to develop a little more slowly. So especially in the beginning. So I did not expect them to do book work quite as soon as the girls. I was watching for their interests, but I didn't push them in it. And this idea that if we don't start education or book work early, they will be a failure or they'll get behind, that's actually a myth. So if we follow their natural love for learning and start reading and writing when they seem ready, they'll respond so much better. And studies have actually proven that there is no advantage to starting early. In fact, mm-hmm. the opposite is true. When boys are pressured with too much too soon, they actually give up. They might show up, but they aren't being encouraged to love learning and they've sort of lost their love for learning. What we want them to do is to equate good emotions and experiences with learning. So we start out gently and move forward slowly as they're ready, and we give them lots of time to play, lots of margin, especially early on, to be outside, to do the boy things, to blow off their energy. And then when they do start into book work, what I noticed is my boys tended to need a break between each subject. They're going to go out and jump on the trampoline for 15 minutes. I'm going to set a timer because I have been known to forget. And then it's all of a sudden it's lunchtime because there were a lot of them, right? It's lunchtime. And I realized I haven't seen Ben for 2 hours and we need to move on with our day. So set a timer, let them know, hey, you're free for 15 minutes. Sometimes they'd want to do something physical. Sometimes they actually wanted to go and play with Legos, which is a very mathematical focused thing to do. But I let them decide what that looked like for them and then brought them back and they were fresh and ready to start again. So I think just knowing that they might want to do their reading upside down on the couch. Mm-hmm. Or in a
and that's okay.
Or in a tree. And this is, yeah, that's okay. That is absolutely okay. So just knowing that, you know, and maybe there are parents listening whose kids are going to school and they're coming home with some homework. Maybe you can kind of implement some of these ideas so that homework is a little bit more fun and a little less daunting for them. And you might get a little more cooperation.
Good tip.
Well, I love your unhurried approach. And that's definitely proven fruitful, especially with my firstborn, as well as giving him his tasks for the day and letting him set his own schedule has been huge. And he can identify, I need a brain break. I need to go build Legos.
Right.
I need to go run around outside. I need to play baseball. And, you know, as long as he gets it done, and he likes being done early in the afternoon, but he mm-hmm. also can appreciate that, you know, we all need breaks
right.
as we go about it. So why do you think, expand on that a little bit more, because I love your take on that. Tell us why you think it's so important to take that unhurried approach to homeschooling, or, you know, if your kids are in a traditional school with the homework side of things or the mm-hmm. work on non-school days, and help our parents calm down a little, because we all get a little bit worried
right.
that they're going to fall behind. So
right.
help ease our minds on that, because we all have that fear, I know.
Right. Well, what I've seen is every child has their own timeline for learning. And obviously we want to be diligent and catching, you know, learning issues and things like that sometimes you can see early on. But I think more often than not, we panic mm-hmm. because we look at that scope and sequence chart, or we look at someone else's kid and we think, oh my gosh, my kid isn't doing that thing. I'm telling you, they are definitely all on their own timelines. And the thing that's interesting, what I found especially with boys, is that once they're ready for something, it's like they take off like a rocket. Mm-hmm. Once they're ready. If they're not ready, it's like digging post holes in Alaska in the winter. Like, you can go out there every day and chink in the snow and ice if you want to. You're not going to make much progress. Or you can wait until the spring thaw. And all of a sudden, you've done it in a fraction of the time. And this is the same mm-hmm. thing with learning. So mm-hmm. often, there is something, just something there that's not allowing them to take that thing in at the time. And, you know, sometimes we just have to ask ourselves questions like, does he need to know this right now? Does he need to know this at all? Because sometimes they're, you know, especially with homeschooling, we have more of that option of saying, you know what, I don't, diagramming sentences, I don't think that's necessary. If you want to do it, fine. If not, we're going to move on, you know. But I love what you said about letting your son own, you're basically letting him own his education by letting right. him have a say. And I think that's another huge thing with boys. They want to lead, they want to conquer. And when it's their thing and they have as much say as possible, they don't get to have all the say, but as much as possible, they're so much more motivated. I think it's just really something we have to step back out of the sort of traditional thinking and recognize that these boys are smart in so many ways. And that kicks in, different areas kick in at different times. But we can really maybe focus on what they're good at and what their strengths are, and maybe not put their weaknesses under a microscope. Doesn't mean we can't work on them, but let's not make those such a big deal. Let's really focus on the things they are good at, because they'll gain that confidence that they need to do the work in the weaker areas. So it all balances out in the end. But boys are awesome and they are so capable. And I think we just need to be sensitive to the fact that they're going to probably do things a little differently than girls.
Hmm. I love that. I'm going to listen to that on repeat every week, because I do get caught up sometimes in the things that seem so important. You know, math right. is important. It's very important.
Right.
Not every detail of it is, but
exactly.
Our son has really taken to the math program we're using right now, mm-hmm. which is actually one of our sponsors, CTC Math. And
love them.
He has decided that he wants to do 2 or 3 grade levels this mm-hmm. year. And mm-hmm. so he has really right. been flying through it on right. his own, because he's motivated because his friends are doing some of that at
exactly.
church. And he's like, I want to know how to do that. And so we were kind of in a, I don't know, just sort of a tooling along sort of pace. Mm-hmm. And he's picked up the pace because mm-hmm. he's motivated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could not have forced that. There's no way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge thing right there. He's taken the lead on this thing. And if you can mm-hmm. get them to the point where they're doing that, and again, that can't be forced. It's sort of, you have to feel your way there,
right.
you know, unfortunately. Right. Experiment with a lot of different things. I think that's one thing we have to be willing to do, and tell our sons, what do you think about trying this? Do you want to try this? I would ask my boys, like, how do you learn? Like, would you rather listen to an audiobook, or would
yes.
you rather read the book itself? Do you need music or noise? Because some of them needed more than one thing going on at a time
right.
to learn what they needed to learn, and others needed quiet. So, you know, just having those conversations can be so helpful.
Definitely.
Learning your children, like you said
yes.
earlier,
mm-hmm.
study your children mm-hmm. and know how they like to do
exactly.
things, their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the part of our show where we give a quick tip for parents. And today's quick tip is courtesy of Dorinda. What do you have for us today?
Well, you know, while our kids were growing up, we were on a single income, and it was very modest. So one of the things we learned was that we could have a lot of fun and not spend a lot of money. So I think getting creative with the way that you do fun things with your family would be my encouragement. I know a lot of families are struggling out there right now with just groceries are expensive, life is expensive. So your family fun doesn't have to be.
I love that. What's the most fun? Did you guys have a routine or something fun that you would do in particular?
We loved starting the fire pit and roasting hot dogs or doing s'mores. That was one of our favorite things to do. And now, all these years later, we still light up the fire pit. The kids, the second they sit down, you know, I call them kids, but they're all grown up now, but they sit and they immediately just start talking and laughing and sharing stories and remembering. And it's like second nature to them. So it's a wonderful thing.
I love
thing.
It. Yeah. Yep. And grilling the hot dogs, you're also taking care of dinner.
Absolutely. Yes.
Smart mama.
Dinner every day for Ginger. Hot
right?
dogs. That's yeah. wonderful.
Work smarter, not harder, right?
yeah. We do a weekly, well, I say weekly. Our kids beg to do a weekly family date is what we call it.
Oh,
and we
fun.
Literally will watch a movie together. Or I store up funny Instagram videos and I'll show them.
Oh, that's great.
I'll show them funny Instagram videos, usually animals doing something silly.
That's awesome.
And then we will eat something sweet, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. And that's family
great.
Date. And they think
that's
it's the
great.
Greatest thing in the world. So I love that, Dorinda. Thank you.
Sure.
If you have a quick tip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any random tip about cooking, housekeeping, something you do with your kids, ideas for fun date nights with your spouse, anything at all. We would love to share your ideas on the podcast. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/quicktips to submit those.
Well, Dorinda, as always, we have so enjoyed having you on our show today. So how about telling our listeners where they can go to find out more about you and your books?
Okay. Well, you can go to DorindaWilson.com. That's where you'll find my books. My podcast is also there, but it's also on a lot of different platforms. It's the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. And you can order any of my books from my website or from Amazon.
All right, that's great. And we'll be sure to have Heather put links to everything in our show notes so our listeners can easily find them.
Thank you.
Dorinda, can you leave our listeners with a final word of encouragement?
Well, I think breathe, relax. I think sometimes as moms, because we don't understand our boys, we can get really tense about what am I going to do with this, you know? But God is so faithful. If you will just get to know your son and the things that we talked about today, I think just chew on those, pray about those, and talk to your husband, and just be prayerful about how the Lord would lead you to raise your son from a boy to a man.
Thank you so much, Dorinda and Ginger, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Do you have a parenting question? Well, we invite you to submit it at gingerhubbard.com/askginger, and we'll do our best to answer it in a future episode. And while you're on gingerhubbard.com, you can also find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Today, we're offering a 10% discount on an already great bundle deal of Ginger's Wise Words for Moms chart. So you can buy 3 charts and get a 4th chart free, so $15 total. And then we'll give you another 10% off of that when you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com. These Wise Words for Moms charts are great gifts for baby showers and dedications, or if you just want to bless your friends who want to use God's word to reach the hearts of their kids. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.